Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying issues of the soul, life from God's perspective. In this session, we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, freeing the soul. Let's look first at, before we get into our text, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 down to verse 17. Verse 15, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be a fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. God gives us grace to handle every situation. If we act on it, we have victory. If we resist it, we have failure, more sin. Much of counseling today is ineffective or temporary because of a lack of understanding of this principle. It's just putting a band-aid on a broken arm or trying to treat a fever without treating the infection that caused it. We're called to transform our soul by the renewing of our minds with the Word of God. However, there are times when we instead give our soul to the enemy's influence. Well, how do we do that? Well, first, we give ground in our soul to Satan through sin. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and verse 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. The word translated place is tapas. It's ground. It's our root word for our English word topography, ground. So we give ground in our soul to Satan through sin. And then second, Satan builds strongholds on his new real estate. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Our soul is composed of our mind, our will, and our emotions. People are tripart, with a body, a soul, and a spirit. Just kind of imagine Satan's work on a plane with strongholds. Just kind of imagine a chessboard before you, you know, the black and white spaces, a chessboard. And Satan, each one of them represents a part of your soul. And Satan gets a part of your soul through your sin. And he's now controlling that place because of sin. And he takes that place in your soul and he builds a stronghold. Like he builds a castle. And you give another piece of ground, he builds another stronghold. And there are some people who in their sin have not dealt with it, and they keep giving more and more and more of their soul to the devil, and Satan develops his real estate that he's gained, and that chessboard of your soul begins to look like the downtown part of a city with all these fortresses and castles and buildings. Listen, a stronghold is a place of human confidence. Arguments are intentions that precede conduct. And a high thing is a barrier to the truth of Scripture. Let me repeat those. A stronghold is a place of human confidence. Right? We got a mindset. We think this way, and we feel good about the way we think, and we feel secure in the way we think, even if it's wrong. Arguments are ways that we argue a point before we make a decision, before we demonstrate it in conduct. And often we're arguing our strongholds. And a high thing is a barrier that you can't get through. And in spiritual sense, it's a barrier to the truth of Scripture. Now, to see these three things, strongholds, arguments, and a high thing, we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. It makes it very clear. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with the confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Listen, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So, we give ground in our soul to Satan through sin. He builds strongholds and develops his new real estate. And then third, because of the situation, God allows torturers to afflict our soul. Remember the parable when Peter comes to ask about how many times he had to forgive his brother? Up to 7 times? No, up to 70 times 7. And then Jesus proceeds to tell the story of the man who owed the king 10,000 talents, which is just an incalculable number for that day, but is a lot for our day. And then the king was going to sell his family, his property, and put him in jail until he could pay it. And he pleaded with the king, and the king forgave him all that 10,000 talents. And then he went out and found another one of his fellow servants and shook him down for a denarii, a day's wages. And when the other servants heard about this and saw this, they went to the king, and the king was so angry. He said, I forgave you all that, and you could not forgive this one. And he threw him in jail and told him, you're going to stay there until you pay everything, which he couldn't pay the first time. He's not going to be able to pay it now. And he needed to show mercy on that other person the same way the king showed mercy on him. And it says that the king allowed torturers to afflict him while he was in prison until he would learn from it and show mercy. And then Jesus, as he starts out with Peter and the forgiveness and how many times you forgive, and then he tells the parable, and he ends the parable by saying this in Matthew chapter 18, verses 34 and 35. He said, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And then he it's like he was telling the story, and then he just looked around and he said in verse 35, so my heavenly Father will do to you, also will do to you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So the question that arises is, what are torturers? Well, Satan already has the mind, the arguments. He already has the will, the high thing. So now he goes for the emotions. Fear, depression, anger, anxiety, and just on and on and on. Have you ever wondered where anxiety attacks come from? Listen, non-biblical counseling will not help this situation. Why? It's because sin is at the root. It's a war. The ground must be regained. The ground that was lost by sin can only be regained through forgiveness, through confession. And so how do you get it back? Well, confess each sin that God brings to mind. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then, so confess each sin, and then ask God to regain the ground. Psalm 23 and verse 3, he restores my soul. See, the parts of my soul that are gone through sin need to be restored, but only God can give them back. You got to understand the principle of eviction to understand this. You see, Satan owns the land now because it was given to him through sin. Well, it can be taken back, and Jesus took it back at the cross. But if a landlord owns a piece of land and he wants the person that's possessing it, I should say Satan doesn't own it, but he has control of it because of sin. It belongs to God. It belongs to Jesus. But Satan has control of it. And he's just not going to give it up. The landlord owns the land, just like God owns our soul. The tenant, the resident, is being evicted. So the eviction notice goes out. You know, the court decides, oh, you got to go. The eviction notice goes out, but the eviction notice doesn't put the person out. The landlord can't come and put the person out. Even though it's his property, the resident, like Satan, possesses it legally. And even now that he's been evicted, he's still there. Satan is still there. What has to happen is the sheriff has to come and serve the warrant of eviction and then put the person out. The same thing is true with our soul. Jesus restored our soul. He gave us our soul back at the cross. Our sins are forgiven, but Satan still has control. He's still a resident controlling things. God has to take it all back. And so we need to confess each sin that God brings to mind, and then we need to ask God to regain the ground that we gave up through sin, and then we need to tear down the strongholds that Satan built in our lives. We need to tear them down with truth. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, they gained the land, but the strongholds were still there. They had to take Jericho. They had to take Ai. They had to conquer these cities. They had to bring them down by God's power. And that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 is telling us, which we read. We'll read it again. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. God has taken it back. He's restored our soul, but the strongholds that Satan built are still there. They're mighty in God for casting down strongholds. I mean, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments that we've developed, and every high thing that we've allowed to stand against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And then we need to fully forgive offenders, those who've sinned against us. We need to forgive them so that bitterness doesn't continue to grip our lives. If that's necessary in our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Listen, don't overlook the tearing down of strongholds. This step is critical to freeing the soul. Sin is forgiven. Ground is regained, but the castles, the strongholds are still standing. Mindsets, arguments, thought patterns, they must be dealt with. And how? The same way that you were called to convert the soul after you were first saved. It must be done all over again. Because spiritual growth is dynamic. I always like to use the illustration that spiritual growth, it's like attempting to go up a down elevator. It has a consistent pull down. You have to move faster than that downward pull to get up that escalator. That's spiritual growth. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Which, remember the last time, our last session, Psalm 19, verse 7 to verse 11. That's what transforming and renewing is all about, is from that psalm. That psalm speaks perfectly to the renewing of our mind that's called for in Romans 12, 2. Psalm 19, beginning with verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, in rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are pure, are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Those six insights for victory in the Christian life from Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. Learn God's commandments. Read God's biographies. Understand God's ways. Make wise decisions. Practice daily disciplines. And develop personal testimonies. I would call you to commit to dealing with strongholds in your soul. You think about all that, and you have a great day.